Well, the NFL's back, fantasy football's back, and those fantasy points are already really hard to come by. We'll break it all down in this week's episode. The good, the bad, give you advice on how to not overreact to what happened to your team in week one. No Alex Sharples this week, unfortunately, but me, Alex Brindle, and Lewis Brindle are here. We're going to run through the usuals, the forget about it, the projection beaters. We'll look forward to week two. Hope you enjoyed the episode.
Mm-hmm. This podcast is it's great. It's a really, really good time. I'm doing my Tom Brady commentary impression.
Yeah. I like what they did there. Yeah, it was painful, wasn't it?
I didn't know he. I don't know. I didn't know
he's got Tom more Brady's about him voice than that.
Didn't know Tom Brady's voice was that high pitched. I mean, I know what Tom Brady sounds like, but
do you see that Micah Parsons got the LFG player of the game?
I did see that he got the LFG player of the game, and that was another one of those moments where he's like, Micah, this game.
It's like you could hear, you could almost hear the cogs going.
Yeah, you could.
Like, mate, come on.
You could. But that was one of the many highlights of week one in the National Football League.
I'd say there was more lowlights.
Lowlights bolstered by quarterbacks averaging 188 passing yards per game, lowest in a week since 2007, perhaps.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, wow. There's a lot of bad quarterbacks in this league. I can't remember a time that there's been this many bad quarterbacks in the league. We'll get into it right now. Game debrief. I'm giving this segment a name as well, proper name. Mm-hmm. Week one games debrief.
Debrief.
I think that I mentioned this to you via text. Starting the season off with two primetime games involving the Chiefs, Ravens, Packers and Eagles certainly made a lot of teams playing on Sunday look awful.
Leave you pretty thin on the ground, good team-wise.
Yeah, because that therefore legitimately really good teams. And we're quite spoiled there. Because those, I thought both of those games were really good. The losing teams in those games also looked really good.
They look good. They're going to be good, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, aside from maybe the 49ers who sort of dominated Monday Night Football, you know, I mean, this is more of a point about Patrick Mahomes, but he's a class apart.
No, really. We said this, said this to you and our brother when we were watching Red Zone and you were commenting on the bad quarterback play. He's kind of in a different league and it's not actually very close. He's playing the game at a different pace to everyone. You know, I'm super happy to have Josh Allen on my fantasy team. Did I think he looked like an amazing real-life quarterback? No. Was he putting the team on his shoulders and doing all that MVP fun stuff? Yeah. Did I think he looked amazing in the game? No.
I know. I'm a big Josh Allen fan, but I agree. No one sort of commands that position at the minute in the league like
I do think that Mahomes is not the most box office player in the league, though. You know who that is.
Who?
He's the quarterback for the Colts, mate.
Oh, let's talk about him.
His box office.
Anthony Richardson.
I watched a really good video breakdown of his game by QB School. On YouTube, JT O'Sullivan, ex-quarterback, he breaks down kind of like film throughout the week, and I'm waiting all week for the Anthony Richardson video to drop, and the Bryce Young video, but mainly the Anthony Richardson video to drop. Oof. And he's kind of just laughing all the way through it, because he's like, this is this is ridiculous, this is stupid. I mean, there's no, the corners don't do a bad job on some of those throws. They just don't expect him to throw it 70 yards.
Yeah.
If you watch that touchdown to Alec Pierce, the ball goes like into shadow, then back to light, then back into the shadow. And he's like, he's slipped and he's kind of throwing it as he's fading left as well. Mm. It's like, he makes throws that, there's like, if you're being generous, there's like three people on the entire planet that can make some of the throws that he makes, and he's one of them. And I think his decision making at the weekend was actually all right. Obviously, there's accuracy issues there, but he was doing, besides from the running, I think the throwing decision making, he was doing a lot of things that you want to see. He wasn't just throwing it up to the other team like some other quarterbacks in the league were. But yeah, I mean, can you name a player in the league who you want to watch more than Anthony Richardson at the minute?
Probably not, because I mean, maybe you know, I could name you a player I want to see with Anthony Richardson.
Go on.
Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
All you'd have to do amazing, to score a point is start on your 1 yard line. You know, Anthony Richardson in shotgun, throw it back to him, line it up, throw it 70 yards, Tyreek Hill will be there.
I mean, that touchdown.
He's got the air time. Yeah. The ball would have the air time to stay, to stay in the air that often, that long for him to run that long. But,
touchdown pass is absurd, and he's throwing like absolute heaters to these people that are traveling like 90. They have to try and catch it, you know. It's like the flick, the motion is so fast as well. Honestly, I'd recommend go back if you've not, if you want to laugh, go back and just watch every throw, all 9 completions by Anthony Richardson this past week.
That's the only problem. It's crazy.
Yeah, that is a problem. I know.
The problem is that Anthony Richardson cannot throw the ball less than 30 yards. So bad news for Michael Pittman, any of these intermediate guys, because he physically cannot. His arm won't allow him to throw the ball less than 30 yards.
I feel like I know we're talking to small sample size, but I feel like Pittman's target share was still healthy. I know we're talking a really small sample size, but still, it's the only thing we can go off.
No, it was Pittman, exactly. And that's that's why I wouldn't panic on it. Because the target show was healthy, but other games this week, obviously that was the Colts, the Texans. Texans ended up sort of sealing that victory, you know, relatively comfortably. Efficient Vikings performance on sort of both sides of the ball, which I was impressed by, but then again, it sort of, that was the one of the games that you sort of forgot was on, because the Vikings got up to a lead and just started sort of coasting, really. But
they were playing against the Giants' new quarterback, Dan Jones.
Dan Jones.
Have you seen the beard? It looks more like a Dan Jones.
When you thought there wasn't a quarterback worse than Daniel Jones.
I was about to say, and Dan Jones is also terrible at football. But I'm going with Dan Jones from now on. I don't know about you.
Yeah, DJ? No, too many DJs. The Giants are unbearable to watch.
Malik Neighbors had an okay game.
Who's more unbearable to watch? No. Actually, sorry, no. I know he's more unbearable to watch. Because it's in our worst team in the league segment, but I digress. The Saints absolutely demolished the Panthers. It's one of them. What is this? Is this the Saints somehow being good? Like, is there any truth to that 47 points or whatever it was? Mm. Like, is there any? How much truth is there to that? You know, if they're playing an actual NFL team.
Mm.
I'm asking you. I want to know.
I mean, the Saints seem to do this at the start of every season. It seems like...
You said to me last night that Derek Carr was perfect.
No, statistically.
Factually.
Statistically, yeah.
In every way.
The week one of every season, all I can imagine is like someone throwing like a huge touchdown in that Saints stadium. It seems to happen every year. But, I mean, the Panthers are terrible. So it'd be interesting to see. I think the Saints are still mediocre, to be honest.
I agree. Speaking of the NFC South, it's ironic that the Saints winning by that much of a margin, and they actually weren't the team I was most impressed by in the NFC South. The Buccaneers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Smooth is the word that comes to mind. Well-oiled machine is other words that come to mind.
They look better than last year. I said to you and Sharples that there's something to be said for a good quarterback in Baker Mayfield who's in a position where he's comfortable, a lot of continuity on the offense as well. Obviously, Dave Canales is gone, but I mean, players-wise, a lot of continuity. Mike Evans is aging like fine wine. Mm. I kind of root for this team. Think they're good.
Yeah, I agree. And yeah, it takes me back to the point at the very top about quarterbacks. We're in a world now, Sharples will love the fact that I said that, where Baker Mayfield he's an upper echelon starting quarterback in the league, a reliable starting quarterback in the league, because not many people threw as many yards as he did, threw as many touchdowns. Did he throw the most touchdowns this week? Sorry, he threw four.
I mean, he was QB2 on the week fantasy wise. I'd have been surprised if Derek Carr didn't throw. Let me just pull it up dead quick. Derek Carr threw three, so yeah, it was Mayfield. But I mean, let's not act too surprised. You know, Mayfield, former number one overall pick. Had a couple of really great seasons with the Browns. Obviously, career kind of derailed a little bit, but clearly no one can succeed at the Panthers. So
no, and he's sort of battle-worn in the league. He's had a rocky road in the league. He's had to prove himself at multiple places, which he has done, which obviously speaks volumes. I think, you know, sue me. If you listened to this show 2 years ago, you'd have never heard these words uttered from my mouth, but I think Baker Mayfield is a good quarterback.
Whoa. Yeah. I could have never seen a world where you'd have said that.
And Mike Evans is still good.
Yeah, Mike Evans is good. Godwin looks nice. Yeah.
Yeah, they look just like, yeah, good team. The Cowboys also didn't skip a beat on both sides of the ball. This was a low-key thrashing, because they took the foot off the gas pretty early on in this game against nothing incredible has changed on this Browns defense. This is still what we project to be one of the better defenses in the league, and the Cowboys just sort of sliced and diced them.
Browns, one of the best defenses in the league, coach of the year last year, going into the dog pound, as they call it.
The dog pound?
I think that's what they call it, I think.
Maybe.
Something like that. and just, yeah, like you said, kind of thrashing them. Really impressive win. Took control of the game to the point where, like, unfortunately for fantasy, people like Prescott foot off the gas after maybe the first 2 minutes of the game.
Yeah, I'm not getting carried away, though. I'm not getting carried away.
Me neither, but I think Dak Prescott's going to be good for fantasy again.
Yeah, yeah. The Lions also pulled out an overtime win against the Rams. I'll be honest, I expected this from the Rams. The Rams can put up points. There was a period in the game where they scored like 16 unanswered to get back into it. I was expecting a bit more from the Lions. I do like the Rams, but I do think that the Lions are clearly the better team, and I would have thought more points would have been put up on the
Than the Lions. They're better than the Lions, are you saying?
The Lions are better than the Rams, and I thought, yeah, sorry. Yeah. I like the Rams, but I thought obviously the Lions are, you know, one of my, I got them to get into the Super Bowl this year, so I did.
The Rams are really
slightly
good team,
underwhelmed
though.
By their performance, really, but
the Rams are a really good side. I'm just waiting for that play call that we saw in preseason, which calls for McVay to get on the field and play cornerback. That was good.
I'm ready for it as well.
Yeah.
And, I mean, obviously plenty of other games went on. Just a little notable one for me. I feel like the Patriots are going to be respectable, steady. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're going to get 5 or 6 wins. They're not going to be embarrassing, which I think that's all, as a New England Patriots fan, not me, I'm speaking on behalf of them. That's all you'd want, I guess, in still this post-Brady, now post-Belichick rebuild era, because in the past couple of years, they have been a little bit embarrassing. Whereas now it's respectable.
Yeah.
It beat a Bengals team who, I don't know if they're good. I don't know if, I mean, I know you have a bit of a take on the Bengals, Al.
I'm just kind of sick of them. I feel like if you go back and listen to the tape on this podcast, I've been a big fan of the Bengals and Joe Burrow. I don't know what it is. I think they've lost their aura. I know also what it is.
There was
Joe Burrow had a picture, just Google it, see if he had a quick snap with a UFC a few months ago. Yeah. Ever since that, he's gone
that
from...
That picture with that person.
Joe cool to Joe cringe to me. I also think there's this real arrogance of the team, like they're owed something. That Super Bowl was a long time ago. Feels like a long time ago since they've been the team that the Chiefs can't beat kind of thing. They really rubbed me the wrong way all of a sudden, this Bengals team. So, and I suppose also... Chargers Raiders wins boring game of the week.
And I feel like we're going to see a lot more of that, because that was a very boring game, and by all accounts a fantastic opener for Jim Harbaugh. Dominated the way that he wanted to dominate. The defense dominated. Get used to that when you're watching the Chargers. Sorry, Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert might win more, but he might not lead the league in passing ever again.
I also I like that the Seahawks won, but I'm disappointed with how they played. I'm hoping that we see some more cohesion. I mean, it's week one. Look, it's week one. We'll see more cohesion in a lot of these.
Listen,
teams,
it takes.
Yeah.
So, you know, how do you define an era? You know, do you define it in the moment as it's happening or when it's past? You know, the grub era. We can't grasp it yet.
We're in it. We just can't see it yet.
Al, first categories of the season.
Whoa!
Impressive victory. Give me yours.
I'm not going to do it, and I'm not going to say the Cowboys.
Okay.
I really like the Patriots win. I thought they played really tough. I thought they showed that they can move the ball with a really good running back in Ramondre Stevenson. They played good defense. They played really hard for this coach. That's one that stands out to me where I'm a bit like it wasn't one of those games that I thought the Bengals just weren't at the races. I could see the Patriots, just like you alluded to, kind of doing this over and over again this season and racking up a few wins. It's something that they can replicate, this kind of performance. I don't think it was a fluke.
Yeah, sure. My impressive victory, I am going with the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys fan is trying to bust out. Great win against the solid Browns defense. I feel like there was a few wins by teams this week that looked easy. The one with the Cowboys is it was against a good team and it looked easy. So it's the Cowboys for me. Not buying
first Cowboys talk of the year.
That's the stuff. Not buying it, win, Al.
This was really hard because I feel like all the teams that won probably should have won, but just by the manner of it, I'd probably go with the Bears. It didn't feel like they should have won that game. But luckily for them, the Titans wanted to lose the game even more than they did. You're going to see way more from Williams. as the season progresses.
Are you?
They're not going to. Yeah, yeah. They're not going to win like this often. And for that reason, it's the Bears.
I also went with the Bears. yep, William is not having the immediate impact that he thought. But I don't think this defense is going to be anywhere near as dominant against a better team, really.
Mm. Yeah. And yeah.
So that's where it's going to be interesting, because this offense will have to actually do something.
Well, I don't know about you, but Caleb Williams looked pretty nervous.
He did look nervous. I thought he didn't get nervous, though.
Yeah.
Who's the worst team in the league, Al?
Apart from the Panthers, or including the Panthers? Are we doing like joke answers? Because I feel like every week is going to be the Panthers.
I know this segment, this category would be called "Who's the Panthers?"
Yeah.
Who's the worst team? Who's the worst Panthers in the league?
Giants or Panthers? Panthers. Yeah, well, the Panthers. I mean, there's more points than the Giants.
Yeah, I mean, as I alluded to earlier, when talking about the Giants, I'm double bluffing you. The worst team in the league for me is the Giants.
Oh.
The Panthers are laughably bad in that it's actually quite fun. Morbidly fun to watch them. The Giants are unwatchable.
Yeah.
Unwatchable.
Even with Dan Jones at the helm.
Even with Dan Jones, who, by the way, since signing his $160 million extension, has thrown 2 touchdown passes and 8 interceptions, 3 of those being pick sixes.
I don't know what we're all criticising. He's the one laughing. He's the one fooling us all.
Fair enough. He is. Fur crack. He is. That is, I mean...
and to anyone who says, oh, he was injured a lot, read those out again, Lou. How many touchdowns, 2 pick sixes?
2 touchdown passes, 3 pick sixes.
Okay, so, and if anyone wants to complain that, oh, but he's barely played because he's been injured and blah, 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 he's played enough games to throw 3 pick sixes.
Yeah, no, he's played enough games to throw 8 interceptions.
So 2.
Yeah.
Game.
Let's move on. Let's talk about some of the good and the bad on your fantasy teams this week. Listen, I think there's two ways of reacting to fantasy football in week one, after week one. The players who you expected to be good but were bad, that's a one-off. That is a one-off. But the players you didn't expect to be good and surprised you, well, that's going to continue. That's a trend that is going to continue. I think it's always going to be a middle ground. We're here to approximate that middle ground, really.
Can I just also say that while we're on reactions to last week, I won everywhere. So I'm 1-0 everywhere. So I'm in a good mood. I'm laughing. Especially after waking up Friday morning, seeing what Mark Andrews had done. So I'm happy, yeah.
Congratulations, I'm sure the listeners are all... they can't actually hear us now because they're all clapping so loud.
Insert round of applause.
Nope, I won't be doing that. might insert a boo. the best players in week one.
Yep.
Saquon Barkley, 33.2 fantasy points. 3 touchdowns. Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
That was vintage Barkley. When I say vintage Barkley, I mean vintage Barkley, because sort of like rookie Saquon Barkley stuff we were seeing there. That's good to see. Encouraging to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jaden Reed, 33.1 points. Explosive. Getting him the ball in.
Welcome.
getting him the ball on the ground, you know, in special players, all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. Cooper Kupp, 32 points, 14 receptions. I think we all know what I think of that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Josh Allen, 31.18 fantasy points. And Baker Mayfield, 29.66. And then Jaden Daniels, 28.16.
So, Lou, to brag, but also... not just to brag, to be the asker of a very valid fantasy question. Mm-hmm. I'm a fantasy owner who has Josh Allen, and I'm never going to drop Josh Allen, but I've also got Jaden Daniels on my bench. How many more big weeks do I give it until I start trying to flip him for someone more valuable to my team?
One, because they're against the Giants this week, and it's going to be madness.
Okay, so if you are someone who picked up Jaden Daniels towards the end of your draft and you have a quarterback like an Allen, a Mahomes, a Hurts, who you're never going to drop, I agree, Lou. Give it this week. He's going to run all over the Giants and then look at a weakness on your team and flip it to someone who doesn't have a quarterback. Maybe the Jordan Love owner, but unfortunately in our league, the Jordan Love owner, I'm speaking to him on this podcast. Assess it. Look who needs a quarterback, but also this team has maybe a player that you need as well. But I agree, another big week from Daniels, and if he's on your bench, flip him.
Yeah. Crazy how predictable the Daniels score was as well, in that it was pretty grim, all on the ground, rushing touchdowns. And that's the way that team's going to operate. So I think that will continue. Yeah, good game from Mayfield,
I will say that I think Daniels is going to come to be more like a Hurts than a Fields. I think the passing game, he's got a lot of talent, and I think it will come with time.
I agree, even though watching the game, I did text you and Sherpa saying quite the opposite. It looked more like Justin Fields than Lamar Jackson.
He's Lamar his first Jackson. Game in the league. It's his first game like in the that. League, though, you know what I mean? His first game in the league. Yeah.
Joe Mixon, 26.8 points. Ooh. This is a good team. Going to be plenty of scoring opportunities for Joe Mixon, and he was able to just absolutely, you know, run all over the Colts. That's annoying.
I feel like you missed one though, Lou. You missed the wide receiver 3 on the week.
Alan Lazard, 26.9 points. 2 touchdowns. What on earth is going on there?
Just the 87 yards, yeah, but that's what the 2 tutties will get you. I didn't think he was still on this team. that's about a third of the yards he got all last season and double the touchdowns. in one game.
One of those touchdowns being thrown to him by Tyrod Taylor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So. The Jets offense was running smoothly with Tyrod Taylor.
It was.
A man who's not 90 years old.
Isaiah Likely, breakout game, 26.1 points. He looked explosive. He was running down that field like he had no reason to be that far.
Do you think he's going to score more fantasy points over the next, let's say, month than Mark Andrews? Because I don't. I think if you go back and look, they were if we're using our football soccer expression, they marked Mark Andrews out of the game.
Yeah, and they run a lot of jumbo, should we say? You know, multiple tight ends. I think Andrews is still the better player. Likely, he he had that game breaking ability, which maybe Mark Andrews doesn't have. At this stage in his career, Likely does, but I think Andrews will be the more reliable target, but I feel like you will have games like this by Likely more often than Andrews. So it's which would you rather have? Would you rather have the boom bust maybe, or the steady Eddie?
We're looking at the tight end scores this week, probably the steady guy, because you know it was absolute rancid.
Wow.
So I'd probably have a guy that's going to score. If you have a guy that's going to score you 12 points a week, fingers crossed at the tight end position, you're laughing.
Mm-hmm. Anthony Richardson, 26.08 points, 9 completions. Just keep doing it. Just along for the ride.
Riding the wave. Oh, yeah.
Tyreek Hill, 26 points. Vintage Hill performance. Yeah, not much. This is Tyreek Hill. I'm glad that finally, reading out these top scorers, there's someone who was picked in the top 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, finally. Because there ain't many more. Lamar Jackson had a solid game, 25 points. Jameson Williams, 24.4 points.
Yeah.
Maybe the breakout Russell would be Brown, waiting for a couple of years.
Same Brown owners know that feeling. What happened there when we woke up on Monday morning? I mean, come on.
I know. I think, yeah, I don't know. Goff was just finding him. He was finding him. And it was a great game by Williams. Hopefully the breakout. And hopefully, because this isn't the norm now. Amon-Ra St. Brown is still Amon-Ra St. Brown. But hopefully this, you know, spells good things for the Detroit offense that they have maybe got Williams to actually break out.
Mm.
Also good games by Mike Evans, Devon Achan, AJ Brown, J.K. Dobbins. J.K. Dobbins.
Well.
My most drafted player that you scoffed at and that I subsequently played.
My most drafted was Ramondre Stevenson.
And that I
Stevenson.
Subsequently played in one league.
Yeah, I didn't play Pollard anywhere that I have him either.
Chris Godwin. Yeah, Chris Godwin, nice game. Alvin Kamara and Stephon Diggs just won't go away. They both had nice games. Ramondre Stevenson as well. Very nice game there. But let's get on to some of the worst players this week. Joe Sith Cringe Bag.
Burrow.
8.06 points. Not very cool. Not very cool.
Not cool.
Very cringe. Very cringe, though.
Very cringe. Not cool.
Obviously, without T. Higgins this game. T. Higgins just ruled out.
Tired of this Bengals team just like sleepwalking into the season. You know?
They do. They do. Every single year, it feels like they've done that. But yeah, it just felt like they weren't equipped. They weren't ready, which maybe they weren't, because literally the wide receiver two was out and the wide receiver one hasn't practiced for 2 months. Mm. So maybe that's why, but not impressed by the Bengals or Burrow. Caleb Williams, 7.22 fantasy points, 93 passing yards. I mean, passing was down across the board to start the season. This was a low point for it. You're assuring us that it's going to get better, though.
It will be. Was anyone playing him in fantasy, mate? Bigger bust than Caleb Williams this week. Leave the guy alone.
16-team leagues, some people might have been. Some people also might have been playing Kirk Cousins. If you were unlucky, that guy is done.
You really? Are we calling him washed?
No, but...
Calling for the Penix.
I'm hearing Michael Penix multiple sources. Name. I mean, multiple sources talking about how it was a very worry performance by Cousins. People, I'm hearing like they've never seen a quarterback move less in the pocket sort of vibes.
With his legs like shoulder width apart, facing the same way. Like I don't know. Yeah,
not a single play from under center play action. All shotgun, passing it back to him. He's there, set, ready. That's not a guy who... I mean, Kirk Cousins is, in Minnesota, great in play action, you know? So, I don't know. Maybe it was just first game, getting used to it. This was is a fantastic Steelers defense that they were against as well, which might have skewed it. But Cousins, 2 picks, not great. Zamir White, 4.6.
Oh, that was bad.
There we go. DeAndre Swift, 5 points. Johnny Williams, 3.3 points. St. Brown, 4.3 points. I'm not buying into that.
He'll be fine. He'll be fine.
Chris Olave, 3.1.
Mm-hmm.
This was not good.
Was he not my bust pick before the year, Chris Olave? You know what I mean?
But
it's like they throw all these touchdowns to everyone but Chris Olave.
Specifically Rashid Shaheed. Rashid Shaheed didn't skip a beat. Be totally honest there. Michael Pittman, 7.1. We've established this. Don't worry about him. I will. Marvin Harrison Jr. 1.4 points. Now, I'm hearing a lot of chatter about near the end of the game. He was wide open, he was wide open, he was wide open. Listen, he'd got 1.4 fantasy points before that point, before the very end of the game. Like, that isn't going to change his week. This was
weird. It was weird. Yeah. He was out there, like, the whole game.
Literally the whole game, and he just wasn't really targeted.
Weird. I mean, rookie first game, okay.
Rookie first game, it has echoes of Justin Jefferson first game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, let's hope that that's what it's echoes of.
I mean, did the Vikings not have someone to throw the ball to when Jefferson was around? Because, I mean, like, the Cardinals, McBride, sure, but...
Dortch.
We're really saying that Gregory Dortch is a viable target in the NFL. I don't think so.
Listen, Gregory Dortch would disagree. Drake London, 3.5 points. This was a product of Cousins, but also maybe a product of who Drake London is, because same story every year with Drake London. Say what you want about comparing him to, you know, Garrett Wilson. Garrett Wilson, we just need a good quarterback. Garrett Wilson always has been pretty good with very poor quarterback play. Drake London has never really been that good. So,
but you have just called his quarterback washed.
Kirk Cousins is sparkling clean. He's that washed. Okay. He's not. I want to see more. But this wasn't encouraging. I'll say that. No. DK Metcalf 5.9. Yeah. That's not going to happen every week. He was Sertan was all over him. Listen, that's what happens when you're the number one wide receiver on a team. You get the number one coverage. But, Metcalf's going to have bigger games. Mm-hmm. Amari Cooper, 3.6. I don't know if this gets better without a quarterback change in Cleveland. And I feel like there should be one coming for a myriad of reasons. I will say.
Yeah, I agree.
Deontay Johnson, 3.9. This is Bryce Young expecting Canales to sort of conjure something in Bryce Young to reignite his career. As if it was ever ignited. Terry McLaurin, 3.7. Christian Kirk, 4. Those three names, Johnson, McLaurin, Kirk, I'm not too happy with, I'll be honest with you. I know it's week one, but, you know, McLaurin, maybe that's the way the Commanders are going to run now with Daniels. And Christian Kirk, Thomas Jr. looked great. He looked really good. And I think that, you know, maybe this is a phasing out, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, tight ends was
all of them.
Yeah.
Go and look. And this is for the listeners. Go and look for a tight end, like outside of like the top three, who had more than 4 targets. You can't. I've tried. Yeah. You can't. There's none. Yeah. Because at this time in the season, if you're looking at the waiver wire, if you're trying to read into what happened in week one, normally a kind of quite sticky stat can be targets. Obviously, all stats in week one can be kind of like fool's gold. But look for targets, but not in the tight end section of your fantasy app, because there will be none.
I saw a silly stat that was like 11 of the 12 top projected tight ends scored single digits. You know who the one was? Who scored double digits?
Who scored double? Where? Of the top projected
wise?
Oh, is it your best mate? Best mate from the Steelers?
Nope.
Right, give me one more guess.
Only one of the top 12 projected tight ends in week one scored double-digit fantasy points.
That's ridiculous. Oh, is it Kyle Pitts?
It's Kyle Pitts.
Woo! That's where we insert the applause.
Yeah, that is. I mean, only five tight ends actually scored double digits this week, two of whom play for the Saints. And it wasn't Taysom Hill.
Oh, when they targeted him in the corner of the end zone, our brother lost it. Yeah. He lost the plot.
That was insane. That was mental.
And who's the other one? Who's the other one?
For the Saints?
Got two Saints, Kyle Pitts.
It was, so, double-digit fantasy points, it was Foster Moreau, it was Juwan Johnson, it was Kyle Pitts, it was Brock Bowers, and obviously Isaiah Likely.
That's the one, Brock Bowers. Told you so. Okay. Sitting on that guy in a few leagues. He will be good. I'll reiterate what I probably said about 3 weeks ago. You don't draft a tight end that high in the NFL draft like a kind of Mount Rushmore of college tight ends kind of person, just to have him block or play behind whoever the nobody was that they drafted last year. Mayo.
Yeah. Who's heading to the booth, if anybody?
Oh, whoever it is, can they replace Tom Brady? who's heading to the booth? I think we've got a legit answer for this week.
Go on.
Weirdly, I think the person who originated this segment, Ryan Tannehill, he's not going to have time to head to the booth because I think he might be going to Green Bay.
Okay.
I'd play Tannehill over Malik Willis any day of the week. So I 100%. Feel like I feel like you'll end up seeing Tannehill in Green Bay. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to the booth. Maybe on some sort of weird network that only bad people listen to. But I feel like Aaron Rodgers looked old. He looked old.
Yeah. I saw there's some zippy passes in the first quarter. They zipped out, but maybe after that, not so much.
Aaron Rodgers for me.
Nice. While we're still looking back, week one projection results. This is a doozy.
Well, I mean, obviously based on fantasy scoring all round, you know, it's like we're dealing in like the stock market here, okay? And when fantasy points are down, so are our projections, okay? So don't judge us.
Does that mean the guidelines are down?
It means the guidelines are the same.
No.
But we're in a bit of a recession. Sharples did okay. He had 2 of 18 points. He called his shot on Zach Moss and he got 14 points. Zach Moss might be the guy in that backfield, so well done, Sharples. Obviously, you mentioned DK Metcalf, 5.9. That was a miss. But you had Kyle Pitts, who was one of the highlights at tight end. Lou, you had Geno Smith, who did some work with his legs. Got up to some pretty good speeds. I've got Raheem Mostert at 3.9 as a miss. Now, he's out this next week, but I don't recall this miss being because he was injured. I've not got this down as injury. Got it down as a miss.
I think he got banged up, but they didn't officially rule him out of the game. They just sort of spelled him a bit with Jeff Wilson. So, you're the boss.
Yeah, 3.9 miss. Dell, 8.9. I'd say don't worry too much about it. Hopefully they were just kind of feeding. You see this a lot. They might have just been feeding Diggs before he annoys everybody and falls out with everybody, which inevitably happens with Stephon Diggs. You saw it in Chicago with kind of, they were forcing the ball to Keenan Allen. Conklin at the tight end, 1.6. Miss.
This was a stinker. Three misses.
Yeah.
No, to get the Sharples, going.
Three misses to get the season going. Sharples had the one. I had a miss with Brock Purdy, 10.3. You know, you're going to get these games with Brock Purdy, just hoping for that higher kind of flow like he had last year. Swift, 5 points. I think I might be done with DeAndre Swift.
He said that with such a depressed look as well.
We need to get cameras for so the viewers can see. I'm sad about it. Zach Ertz, 5.8. We're playing the game. We're playing the tight end game. 5.8, it was nothing. And then, is this a double hit? Do we have special points for wide receiver one on the week? Jaden Reed, 33.1. You're welcome.
No, we don't.
Okay, but that's a hit. So starting off, like I said, points are down across the board. They're hard to come by at the minute, so don't judge.
All right, great. Let's get into some news and injuries going into week two. So hours before the game on Sunday, the Cowboys and Dak Prescott agreed to a four-year, $240 million deal, biggest per year in NFL history. There we go. Thanks for waiting. You know what, Jerry? You held out. You held out, and it worked because you only had to pay him the most money ever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Dak Prescott played great on Sunday. I still sort of believe the Cowboys can win a Super Bowl with Dak Prescott. Well, I'm going to have to believe that now for the next 4 years, so great.
Mm-hmm.
Before the Dolphins game, Tyreek Hill was detained by police while driving to the stadium for a traffic violation, and apparently he didn't have his seatbelt on as well. I don't know if you've seen the footage from this. It's pretty shocking, disgusting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Speaks to a whole myriad of problems in that country, in the world, with, you know, law enforcement, all this sort of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, regardless of what Tyreek Hill's reaction was, and the reaction that the police officers were expecting or wanting from him, the main story is the overreaction of the police officers, I would say.
Who sort of like...
to what was happening.
You know, there's a, you know, won't get into it too much, but there's a moment where they tell him to get, you know, down on his knees, they've sort of had his hands behind his back, and he's telling him, I've just had knee surgery. And that's the cue for one of them to just jump up behind him and put him in a headlock.
Appalling.
Yeah. But Hill reacted tastefully with his celebration.
Oh, yes.
Moving over to injuries. By the way, Christian McCaffrey didn't play. What?
Yeah, sorry about that, folks. I've been saying for about 2 or 3 weeks now, don't worry about that cue.
What is going on? So he's been diagnosed with Achilles tendonitis.
We've got an insider. We've got an insider on this. Sort
we do.
Of stuff, though.
We do. We do. A good friend of ours. Sort of good friend of ours is this. A good friend of ours, Chris, member of the main league.
Who wouldn't I listen to him in terms of fantasy football advice.
Yes.
He's just started listening to the pod, actually, so hopefully he might hear this.
He's a sports scientist, works for a few different football clubs over in the UK. And he says, listen, Achilles tendonitis, you can and should really play through it. This isn't really something that should really keep you out for a prolonged period of time. You can play through it. So it depends on how cautious, I guess, the 49ers want to be. And maybe they do want to be cautious considering Jordan Mason just ran the most yards anyone's ever ran by the looks of it. So that's great. Mm. Cheers, Jordan Mason. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
They might just sit McCaffrey out to the playoffs at this rate.
Yeah.
Great. What's also great is Puka Nacua being put on IR with a PCL sprain. This is not great. These injuries are spicy for week one.
What even is this PCL? I thought that sounds like something you forward in an email. You know what I mean? What is a PCL?
Well, whatever it is, Nakua's messed his up.
God.
We had three MCL sprains. Jake Ferguson, MCL sprain and bone bruise, apparently not even been ruled out for week two yet, though, but definitely monitor that if Jake Ferguson is your tight end.
You can't John bruise Love. A bone, mate. What are you on about?
Jordan, I mean, me falling into the pool on holiday, I would beg to differ, sir, about bruising your bone.
Yeah.
Jordan Love, MCL sprain, right at the end of the Packers game, not been placed on IR, expected to miss 3 to 6 weeks. So we'll see about that. That is gutting. Jordan Love was having a nice game. He looked decent, I thought. Yeah. So that's a bit gutting that his season's going to get off to a slower start. And then Roma Dunze, I just thought, not necessarily fantasy relevant, but he also had an MCL sprain. What's all that about?
Yeah, annoying. I like Roma Dunze a lot. I wanted to see him play.
Ken Walker, who had a nice game, is day-to-day with an abdominal injury that he suffered towards the end of the game. Team are being very, very sort of, you know, close-knit about it, not really telling you what's going on with this. All we know is his day-to-day. Just monitor the practice reports from Ken Walker. David Njoku, week-to-week with an ankle injury. Team, again, just let us know. They wouldn't confirm whether it was a high ankle sprain or not. It's like, I don't really care. I just want to know what for my fantasy team and for my... I don't really care. I just want to know so I can tell people who listen to the podcast.
Yes.
Raheem Mostert, did I get this right? He's been ruled out with a chest injury for the next game.
At the minute, I've got
at the minute on ruled out with a chest injury. Yeah. Devon Achane, game time decision with an ankle injury. That's the Thursday night game.
So you've got Jeff Wilson there. You have also got the young man who they drafted,
who's Jalen Wright.
Escaping me, Jalen Wright out of Tennessee, maybe, I want to say.
Yeah.
Insanely fast as well. Fast. So yeah.
Keep an eye on those guys. And then Jordan Addison hasn't been practicing. He's got an ankle injury as well. A lot of injuries. Just monitor those practice reports. Let's officially look forward to week two. Week two, the National Football League. We'll start how we always do with...
Forget about it!
Thank you, sir.
Yes, thanking you. Okay, let's do the forget about it. Each position, players that are locked into your lineup no matter what, they're going to crush it. Don't worry about it. Quarterback, Jalen Hurts, Pat Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson.
Hey, forget about it!
Running back, let's do Breece Hall, Bijan Robinson, Kyren Williams, Saquon Barkley, Jahmyr Gibbs, Jonathan Taylor. I would say it has to be Devon Achane if he plays.
Forget about it!
Just a week away from Alvin Kamara getting back in that section, I think. Wide receiver Tyreek Hill, CeeDee Lamb, Cooper Kupp, Justin Jefferson, Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Forget about it!
Can I bring him back? Can I bring him back for a second and tell him to also put AJ Brown and Jamar Chase in there, please?
I see. You can do if you want to. Come back.
Mm-hmm. AJ Brown, Jamar Chase, please, mate. Thanks.
Forget about it.
You know what I'm pausing. You know what I'm looking at.
Yeah.
So we're going Sam Laporta. We're going Travis Kelce. We're going Trey McBride.
Forget about it.
See, the thing about these is I'm looking at projections. I'm also trying to consider people that you're clearly not going to put on your bench because of where you drafted them and all that sort of stuff. And obviously the matchup this week as well. But it's mainly about who are you not even going to look at like twice in your starting lineup.
Yeah.
And a lot of these tight ends at the minute I would be doing. That's your forget about it for this week.
Cool. Thanks, mate. See ya. Let's get on to our projection beaters. I'm getting choked up thinking about my projection beaters. guys who you think are going to outscore their ESPN projection by 4 or more points. Quarterback.
Do you want me to go for Sharples's? On this, should
go
I
go through Sharples? Go through the incorrect answers first.
Yeah, I was going to say he's left a note that says these are all wrong. I'm an idiot, which was weird.
He didn't need to. He also put in brackets.
When you call me an idiot, put the booming echo voice from last week.
You idiot.
Yeah, which is weird as well. So I'll go through Sharples's.
Quarterback, Anthony Richardson, 18.5 projection. Who are they playing this week?
Searching the Packers.
The Packers, yeah. They've got the Packers. 18.5. It's a hefty projection for him to be. So it's a bold call. I like it, though.
Quarterback, I'm going Jared Goff, 15.9 projection. I think he's going to find Amon-Ra St. Brown again. That's an anomaly. St. Brown only had 4 yards per reception in the last game. You're talking about a guy who has averaged 11 yards per reception in his career up until this point, all of which with Jared Goff. I do think the Williams breakout could be real, though, which you know, spells good things for Jared Goff. It's a competitive matchup this week, 51-point over-under against the Buccaneers. I'm excited for this one. Like we said, the Bucs look smooth, so could this be a sneaky shootout between Baker and Jared Goff? Two of, you know, I think maybe, you know, people often thought of these guys as jokes, and now they're sort of legit quarterbacks. I think Goff, yeah, he's going to chuck a couple of touchdowns in this one. Lions are going to properly reassert themselves as one of the league's best offenses, I think. I would be starting Goff confidently, especially at that projection.
Yeah, and I'm going Jaden Daniels. Hefty projection again, a bit like Sharples, is 19.7, but he gets to play the Giants. You know, Sam Darnold just had a day against them. So I'm hoping not only are we going to have the rushing floor with Daniels this week, but we might see some progression in the passing as well. Divisional matchup. Can't say I'm looking forward to watching the game, but in terms of watching whenever it cuts to Daniels on Red Zone, very much looking forward to that. I think it's going to be another good week.
Nice. Running back, who has Alex Sharples picked that we can all laugh at?
Alex Sharples has picked Joe Mixon.
God, all predictable.
The Houston Texans playing the Chicago Bears. He's got a projection of 16.5. Obviously, yeah, another hefty projection. I don't know if Sharples remembers how this game works.
He's certainly not playing in the usual spirit that he does play in.
No, he's not. I mean, you're going to project the Texans to win this game. Looks like he's going to have a load of work on this team, particularly in the red zone as well. I think he's a candidate for one of those guys, you know, to have like a kind of insane amount of touchdown year, kind of 15-plus touchdown year potentially,
Yeah. I'm going to go J.K. Dobbins. He's the projected 13.2, red hot hand in this backfield. Great game. Going up against the Panthers, one of the worst teams in the league. They've also, the Panthers have just lost one of the key defensive pieces as well to injury. I just think this, the only reason this pick is scary is because it makes too much sense, really. That's all I have to say about it. J.K. Dobbins, run heavy team, insane first week, looked excellent against the Panthers. How can this go wrong? You'll all see on Sunday, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I'm going Isaiah Pacheco, running back for the Chiefs against the Bengals. Projected 16.4, but I mean, you know, he got 15 points last week, was it? You know, 15 carries, two receptions, a touchdown. I'm expecting that to be his floor. He's the dude in this backfield. I think this Chiefs offense looks really good this year. It's clicking. Expect Pacheco to get at least two or three receptions per week. Obviously, he's going to lock in those 15 carries for you. He's going to get some red zone work. 16 points is his floor, I would say, from now on. I'm hoping that he just has a good game against this Bengals team in what hopefully is going to be high scoring.
Nice. Wide receiver. Alex Sharples.
Chris Godwin. He's gone Chris Godwin of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in what should be a nice shootout, as you just alluded to, Lou, against the Buccaneers. He's got a projection of 14.2. I like it. I think the Buccaneers are going to have to throw to keep up.
Yeah, I'm going with Malik Nabers. Mm-hmm. Projected 13.5. Let me explain. Chill out. Okay. Mm-hmm. As much as I don't want to be associated with the Giants and with Dan Jones. I'm playing the matchup here. Washington, they looked like an awful defense. You know, they were last year, still appear to be this year. They just don't have the personnel. And Nabers actually, compared to some other highly drafted wide receivers, had a fine debut. You know, it's not world-beating, but when Marvin Harrison goes 1 for 3 and Roma Dunze goes 1 for 11, 5 for 66 looks pretty bloody good. And Daniel Jones is poor, but I do believe that there is more to see from Nabers. This is two awful teams colliding. And listen, that could actually be just as good for fantasy as two great teams colliding. They could bumble the way to a lot of fantasy points in this game. If it's not too early in the season, I would be calling this the toilet bowl, to be honest with you. But listen, if Jones gets the ball in the vicinity of Nabers in this game, there's fantasy points to be had against the Commanders' defense. So I'm going Malik Nabers.
I'm going Marvin Harrison Jr. against the Rams.
Okay.
Yeah. 14.6. I think if things go well this year, go as well as people were projecting, obviously with the preseason draft stock that you put into him, obviously real-life draft stock and fantasy draft stock, he's not going to be projected 14.6 again this year. I think it was a one-off. It was a weird game to start his season, his career with, and I'm banking on them, speaking of forcing new guys targets, forcing him some targets against the Rams. A team that clearly wide receivers can surprise you with. You just look at Jameson Williams this past week. So, you know, they can be hurt through the air.
Tight end, let's get this done quick. Let's quickly get this one.
Isaiah Likely for Alex Sharples, projected 8.9, playing the Raiders. He put a note here that says, "I'm a stupid noob and I believe hype after week one." That's what he says. So Isaiah Likely for Mr. Alex Sharples.
Nice. I'm going Dalton Kincaid, 10.5. It's a confidence pick. You know, as we said, Titans scoring was down across the board. Weird that Kincaid didn't get as many targets as he should have done. He was out there on 84% of offensive snaps. That's second to only Josh Allen. The Bills, I'm hoping, will have to throw it more in this one against the Dolphins' explosive offense. So, I think it's only a matter of time before Kincaid gets as involved as we're expecting him to be.
I'm going Cole Kmet. Playing against the Texans, Burrs tight end, projected 4.4.
Yeah.
I'm playing the beautiful game. I'm playing it. I learned from the best. I don't get how Gerald Everett is some sort of threat. You know, Cole Kmet's he was in the same vein as like a Freiermuth. He was a serviceable guy who was the tight end for his team. For some reason seemed to like split time with Gerald Everett last week. Gerald Everett isn't as established with this team as Kmet. And I'm basically saying that he's going to catch one pass and he won't be a bust.
Great. Very in the spirit of the game.
Yeah.
Let's have a quick look forward to the games then of week two. Sharples isn't here, so I'm not going to appropriate his game tiers. I'm just going to say, Al, give me one game you're excited about, one game you are very much not excited about this week.
Well, normally I like to be excited about the games that are on at a reasonable time for us. So I'm kind of narrowing it down to the Sunday 6 o'clocks and the 9/9:30s. So I'm going to want to get excited for games that are on at a reasonable time for us over here in the UK, which means 6 o'clock, 9 o'clock or 9:30 roughly. Obviously, 9:30, Chiefs-Bengals is the game. Yeah, that's the game. But 6 o'clock, Lions-Buccaneers, I'm hoping that is going to have some good coverage on Red Zone.
Yeah. I'm excited for Lions-Buccaneers.
I am not excited for Panthers Chargers.
Oh, sorry, I didn't tell you what I'm not excited for slash not, or not watching. Titans and Jets. Not nice. Watch that.
Lovely. Yeah. And that'll do us this episode. As always, get in touch with us in thepocketcorrespondent@gmail.com if you think we're idiots, if you want to tell us how our takes are stupid, all that sort of stuff. Enjoy week two. Let's hope it's not as tilty as last week. Or maybe it might be even more. That's the joy of it, isn't it? That's the joy. Goodbye.
See ya.